Gridlock heard round the world.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Despite the massively high stakes, White House talks have reportedly broken down on that $700 billion bailout of financial markets. Marketplace continues its coverage of the financial crisis with Steve Henn.
1 p.m. Eastern. It looks like a deal. Then, a House Republican leader begins circulating a dramatically different set of ideas. The Republican plan is floated by Congressman Eric Cantor, a close ally of John McCain.
It is a plan that allows for the taxpayers who did nothing wrong to be able to continue to look to their retirements, to look to their college savings plan without having to pay this tremendous price to affect this recovery.
This plan offers federal insurance to private corporations that agree to buy up bad debt. 4 p.m. House Republican leaders spring this proposal at the White House. Consensus on the bailout falls apart. Chaos ensues. Shortly after 5, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson begs Speaker Pelosi to press ahead on bended knee. 6 p.m. Congressional leaders hit the cable talk shows to call each other names. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Names aside, the parties need to come together on this one, says Representative John Spratt, chairman of the House Budget Committee.
To support the manager of the country and to make them understand that painful and unpleasant as this is, it's necessary, it would be good if we spoke with one voice.
The stakes are higher today. Washington Mutual has failed. Uncle Sam seized the bank and sold it to J.P. Morgan for just under $2 billion. Thought we'd run this one by our own Tess Vigeland. Tess, biggest bank failure in U.S. history, but not a surprise.
No, Stacey. Unfortunately, we're living in an era where the near collapse and almost dead of night takeover of the country's largest savings and loan is not a big surprise. But I think what probably is something of a surprise here is that this is not going to require the takeover by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the FDIC. So now it is J.P. Morgan to the rescue. And, gee, that's becoming a familiar story, isn't it? You know, first Bear Stearns and now Washington Mutual.
What exactly is the FDIC's role in this private takeover?
Basically, the Office of Thrift Supervision, which oversees the banks, it closed WaMu yesterday and handed it over to the FDIC. And then J.P. Morgan was kind of waiting in the wings to buy big chunks of it.
Why would J.P. Morgan want to buy WaMu right now? It sounds like it took quite a bit of convincing by the FDIC over the last few days to get the deal done.
Yeah, the FDIC was desperate to find a buyer because there was actually concern out there that if the agency had to take over WaMu, that the FDIC's budget would take a severe whack. As for why J.P. Morgan might think this was a good idea, it still has more than $300 billion in assets. Of course, it's also got loads of nasty mortgage debt, but at this point, I think it's willing to gamble that it's going to be able to handle all that debt, and, you know, maybe Congress and the White House will take all that debt over anyway in a bailout package.
Well, Tess, what does this mean for customers of Washington Mutual and for shareholders?
Well, for customers, it's not really going to change anything. J.P. Morgan will just absorb WaMu's customer base. For shareholders, it's not that easy. In fact, they are pretty much going to be wiped out.
Well, at least it's Friday, right?
It is Friday. TGIF, Stacey.
Tess Vigeland hosts our weekend personal finance show, Marketplace Money. Tess, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Yesterday, when a deal looked nigh, the Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed 1.8%. Today, well, Europe is singing the blues. London's FTSE and Germany's DAX both down about 1.5%. And while lawmakers hash it out on Capitol Hill, European central banks and the U.S. Federal Reserve are pumping billions into financial markets. Stephen Beard has more.
The Bank of England alone has lent $30 billion to the money market this morning. The European Central Bank is injecting a similar sum, and the Fed will join the party later today. The action triggered by last night's failure to push through the Paulson bailout and the Washington Mutual collapse. Howard Wheeldon is with the BCG Brokerage Group. He says the central bank's money is urgently needed because the major commercial banks are now even more terrified of lending to each other.
Banks just want to hoard their cash. They don't want to do anything that smells of risk. They haven't got confidence to do business amongst themselves.
He says that today's central bank intervention is no more than a band-aid. Without a radical measure like the Paulson plan, more turmoil is inevitable. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, celebrating global passion to live life to the fullest with 25 runners from around the world. More on global heroes at Medtronic.com. By the American Public Transportation Association, committed to helping Americans save on gas and become energy independent at publictransportation.org. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
These are dark days for most people, but not everyone. The Daily Show with Jon Stewart saw its highest ratings ever last week.
For Secretary Paulson to accept our money, his decisions must be, quote, non-reviewable and committed to agency discretion and may not be reviewed by any court of law or any administrative agency. And we must allow him to wear a cape.
Thought we'd check in with our entertainment news guru, Mike Spire. Mike, The Daily Show is getting a ton of attention right now.
It's changing the way a lot of things are, kind of like the old Saturday Night Live when it was really game-changing.
Right. I mean, it really seems like the play that that show gets surpasses shows with far higher ratings.
Not only that, but regular network news. I mean, that network news had its bad run when everybody was complaining about the anchors or what they're showing or does anyone watch network news anymore. But you know what? They are watching news and they're getting it from funny people.
And of course, The Daily Show and the Colbert Report have really pulled out all the stops for the financial crisis and, of course, the presidential election.
We've seen that from The Daily Show over the past 6 years, that while they're intelligent about their criticism, they still have criticism.
And they're not restricted by the facts.
Exactly.
Which is always nice.
Or by advertisers that really would take network TV to task a little bit more than they do with cable TV.
Michael Spire is executive editor at Daily Variety. Mike, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.